Welcome to the Breaking Up with Yo-Yo Dieting podcast. I'm your host, Amber McKenzie. I'm an author, speaker, and former yo-yo dieter turned successful weight maintainer, and I get to live in a body I love. Each week, I'll share stories, practical strategies, and have inspiring conversations with guests to help you get and keep the body you dream of. Now let's find out how to break up with yo-yo dieting and fall in love with yourself.
If we can have compassion for ourselves, no matter what area you're in, no matter what state your body's in, no matter how you're feeling, if you have compassion for whatever you're in right now, you are more able to then step forward.
This podcast is not meant to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure any medical or mental health condition. Please check with your healthcare professional before making changes to your diet or exercise program. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. So today I have someone that I think is pretty special and pretty cool. And the reason for that is last year I got really injured and I saw physiotherapists, osteopaths, chiropractors, all these people, and no one could tell me conclusively what was wrong with me. And that was a pretty difficult time. So I went on the scroll hole on Instagram, as we do, and I found this girl who was doing inversions and headstands and talking about healing her body, talking about physical pain, but also felt like a holistic approach to health and movement and showing things we could really do. So I'm talking about Dr. Jen Esker. She is a doctor of physiotherapy. She is on Instagram all over the place. If you haven't seen her, you got to check her out. She's got movements and exercises for everything. She is an entrepreneur. She has a business. She likes to prevent injury, teaches about optimal movement, helps people to heal themselves. And through doing that, she's helping basically, she's changing the world. And she's just this person who radiates love and joy. And I'm so honored to be having this conversation with her today. So welcome to the podcast, Jen.
Thank you. What the intro. That's amazing. Thank you.
So Jen, as I let you know, so we're going to do a rapid fire to get this started off and just a couple questions. And in this, I want you to think of, you know, a word, a phrase, or a short sentence that highlights your ideas, and then we'll get through this quickly so we can get into what you're an expert in. Is that okay?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, Jen, where are you from? Where do you live now?
I am from Southern California, but about an hour and a half outside of LA, and I live in LA now.
Okay. Do you ever get food cravings, and if so, how do you manage them?
I definitely get food cravings. It depends. Honestly, it depends on the day. Sometimes I will grab an apple and almond butter so that I still have something sweet. And sometimes I will just have the cookie.
Okay. So it totally can change depending on how you're feeling.
Yep.
Do you call a food that would be, that people might call like a treat meal, a cheat meal, or just food? What would you call that?
Food.
Food. Love that. Okay. And if you're going to have these foods that people might consider them like bad or cheat or treats, how would you overall fit those into your regular eating?
I really listen to my body. So if I know that it's going to make me feel not well, I'm not going to eat it. But if I'm also out and about and know that I'm going to accept not feeling that well, I'm going to eat it.
Awesome. Who has been the most influential person to your health and wellness success?
I guess since the time that I was young, it's my mom.
Oh, favorite way to engage in self-care?
Moving my body.
One thing you think of when you hear the word self-love?
Compassion and acceptance.
I love that. What's one tip or strategy that has been key for you in body and or weight management?
Listening to my body.
I love that. And I think, you know, while I just ask you questions that are outside probably of what you typically talk about or your expertise in body and movement, I think there's so much there that you talked about is truly just tuning into the body overall. And I think, you know, with movement as well, if we're not listening to our bodies, we're going to do things that hurt us or aren't good for us. And when we're listening to our bodies and we learn how to tune into our bodies, we end up doing more of the right for us. Okay, well, I'm pretty excited. So before we get into movement, can you just take us back a little bit into how on earth you got into movement in this big, bad way that you're all over and you're educating us to heal and you're empowering us to heal and move. Why on earth is this so important to you?
It's always been a part of my life. I mean, I wish I could say that I had this crazy story or that, you know, something terrible happened that led me into movement. Actually, I don't wish that I could say that, but I don't have, you know, a crazy story. It literally has been a part of my life, which is why my mom has been my inspiration in health and food and everything like that, because we're very similar in the fact that we love food and we'll eat all the things, but also love movement. Like, it's not movement to beat up the body. It's not movement to say I'm not good enough and I shouldn't be. And I ate something bad, and so that's why I need to move. It's literally, I move because it makes me feel better. It mentally, you know, energizes me, and it is necessary as part of my life. And growing up, we always were required to be in a sport. So from the time I was young, I had to find a sport that I loved. I tried all the things, stumbled upon gymnastics, and fell in love. And from there, once I quit gymnastics, because I quit pretty early on when I was 16, I found movement through Pilates and just started moving and learning from friends. I would go do sprints. I would go do running. I would go do weightlifting. And I just would learn from other people, because all I knew was how to move my own body, which was awesome. And I loved doing that. But it was like continuing to just learn and play. I got into calisthenics. And that's when my Instagram started to grow, was just playing on the bars outside. I got into acro yoga, because that's another thing where you could just move your body around. Like, everything that has to do with movement is what's really led me on this journey to continue to learn, to continue to be open to the possibilities. And the more that I've learned from other people who are quote unquote born with disabilities, like some good ones that I've seen are like cerebral palsy, junior rheumatoid arthritis, amputees, all these people who continue to be badass in their freaking life and don't let these things hold them back at all. That's what has inspired me to take the everyday person, the person with full capability of their body, and remind them how much you still have, that you can adapt, you can change, you can move into, and you get to be grateful for what you still get to have.
Wow. Okay. So what do you think, when you look at all these people that have been born with these disabilities, like cerebral palsy, like you said, and they're doing badass stuff and they're overcoming challenges. And then you went on to say, this can remind you to be grateful. Mm-hmm. Can you explain the link there? If some people are like, how does that remind us to be grateful? Can you help us out with that?
Yeah. I mean, especially as a physical therapist, most of what I'm seeing is that we forget how much a body part was so pertinent to our life until we're injured, right, until we lose it, until something happened. And where these people, a lot of them, especially if you have cerebral palsy, junior rheumatoid arthritis, all these other things, you were born this way. This right. has been early on. This is all you know. So instead of saying, oh no, this is all I know, and just being helpless, being victim to the circumstance, a lot of people I know have actually been proactive and said, okay, this is what I have. What can I do with it?
Right.
This is what I do have. So what can I move into? How can I still live on my own? How can I still work out? How can I still do things that can use my full capability of what I do have? Right. And what I see most people focus on is everything that they don't have.
Right.
And that's where I say the link between what we have to be grateful for is because we don't need to focus on what we don't have. Who cares what we don't have? You have a capable, able moving body that is able to get back into what you do have, because we're limiting ourselves so much. Like, I can't touch my toes. Well, actually, when you were 5 months old, you were putting your toes in your mouth as a developmental stage before you crawled and before you walked. So if we were doing that, you definitely can touch your toes again. You do have that ability. It's just getting yourself back into that full capability.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And our bodies are so powerful and so amazing. And when we're willing to like look at and see what they can do rather than, mm-hmm. I love that you said, like, what can they do? Not what can't they do? We're mm-hmm. able to reconnect into movement that feels good for us within the abilities that we have now, instead of saying, no, it hurts, I can't, or I don't want to, or that would feel uncomfortable, or I don't like that. But it is so much easier when you remember how amazing that body truly is. And sometimes it can be hard to look on the bright side or make that shift, but it's so powerful.
100%.
One of the things that you said when you were like, you know, I tried all these sports and I love gymnastics. And then you started, you know, you went on to talk about just like stages of different things in your life that you've loved and moved through. It sounded like you haven't been static or, stuck and just, I only want to do this one thing. And if I don't do that thing, then I can't do any movement. Like it's been acro yoga, it's been Pilates, like it's done all of these things. And I talk to people sometimes and they're like, I can't do fitness because I don't like going to the gym or I don't like going to yoga, or there's something they don't like. And they tell me that's why they can't. Mm-hmm. Can you speak to a little bit, how come you personally have tried so many different things?
You know, I just love to explore what my body can do because I do live in the possibility that it's absolutely endless if I continue to just learn and explore. And a lot of times we see things and we compare. So if I'm looking at this body that I want to look like, this is what she's doing, so this is what I have to do. And then all of a sudden you try it, you're weight training, and you hate it.
Right.
When really you're maybe a person who needs to be in a group class, who needs to be doing the fun cardio and getting motivated by other people. You don't like being in the gym by yourself, so you hate it.
Right.
Why would you go do something that you hate? I've continued to mix it up also because I get bored. I really do. And that's why I love HIIT workouts too, because it's like 20, 30 minutes. I'm done. I'm out. I got a good sweat. I feel strong. And I don't have to kill myself in the gym. I can literally do it at my home.
Right.
So I also have been able to adjust and learn from other people because it keeps it fun. It keeps my body exploring so that I'm open to the possibilities of what else I can learn. Even when it's scary, I mean, acro yoga, especially, that was so scary to get back into. Yeah. It was like, I could do handstands on the floor and know how to control everything on my own, but now I'm going to do it on someone's hands and then they're going to lift me above their head. What? So it was like this overcoming fear, this overcoming these challenges, that's absolutely amazing. And really, when I go to classes and different fitness classes, I'm not like impressed by the person who's doing the best in class. I'm impressed by the person who's struggling and yet still doing it, still there, still motivated to come time after time, doesn't care what they look like, doesn't care if they're messing up, doesn't care if it's not quote unquote perfect, whatever perfect is. It doesn't matter. They're the brave ones. So right. They're the ones that I look up to.
Ah, I love that you said that because I think so many people just getting started or trying a new class or going to a new gym or whatever it is, right? We can all be so scared of what is everyone else going to think? Or what if I don't know how to move my body that way? Or what if I can't do this or that? And gosh, anybody who's ever been there, we've all gone through like the, I didn't know how to do that phase, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I so think like, it's so easy to get into that frame of looking at other people and thinking I have to be that way or I have to do what they do to look that way. But I really think that if you're going to live in a body you love, you have to love all the things that are getting you to being there. And it might not be the body that you thought you wanted to have, but if it's a grind and it's grueling to have that, you're not going to be a very happy person, at least I don't think.
Well, and the reality is too, like we're born with whatever body we are blessed to be born with, because as much as we can manipulate our genes and change the function of them, we also are born into this genetic body that is predisposed to look a certain way.
Right.
And a lot of the people, especially on social media, the reason why it gets so blown out of just like proportion of so many different areas is because people are getting work done. And we're thinking, this is a bottom that only does squats. You're like, no. That is a bottom that had the fat taken out of the sides and put into the butt. And you don't know. You don't know what is real. You don't know what is fake. So why are we chasing images that we have zero idea if it's even real, if it's even there? And maybe that was their real body, but that's what their body is predisposed to.
Right.
And your body being predisposed to whatever it is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So if people are stuck or they're afraid or maybe they haven't been moving a lot, whether it's, you know, they've just been really sitting on their couch and haven't moved, or, you know, they want to try something new, but they're afraid. One of the things you touched on a little bit was that in a lot of the classes you go to or the fitness you do now, it's overcoming fear. Can you speak to how you still overcome fear in your life?
I would say it's like a daily thing. I mean, a lot of the, especially now that all my stuff is out open on social media and I am doing podcasts, I'm doing interviews, I'm doing speaking, I'm doing other things. The voice wants to creep in of what if I sound stupid? What if people don't understand what I'm saying? What if I'm judged for whatever reason it could be judged for? It could be judged for how I look in a story. It could be judged for what I say on a live. It could be judged for what I say through a podcast. I could be judged in so many different areas. So walking through the fear of overcoming, you know, the fact that, well, I'm going to say, oh, well, and I'm going to do it anyways. And being able to step into that and truly own and truly believe that what I have to say is valuable. And I know that I can help people. And I am enough. I wear it around my freaking wrist. I have a My Intent bracelet that says it. Right. I read books. I surround myself around people who will continue to feed into these positive affirmations rather than the negative ones, which I used to tell myself all the time.
Yeah. And I so relate to that. And it sounds like you choose to walk into the fear or walk through the fear, and you choose to say, oh, well, and you choose to put the blinders on to the people that you don't want to listen to. And you choose to surround yourself with people that are going to lift you up. And there's a lot of choices that you've made there to support yourself and enable you to walk through that fear in a way that it sounds like you can continue to believe in yourself.
Totally. But the first step to all of that was even seeing that I wasn't speaking to myself that way. Because how are we going to draw it in from other people? How are we going to draw in that positivity that we want from other people? Like everyone's always saying, surround yourself with the five people that are going to uplift you or that are going to be your circle that you want to be around, right? Mm-hmm. But you're not going to attract that circle until you start attracting it inside. And right. I think that's the key that needs to be brought open into awareness. And you have to be able to accept the fact and be open to listening how you're really talking to yourself, listening to the things that you're saying to yourself on a daily basis all the time. Because these same judgments that we put on ourselves, the same harshness that we put on ourselves, you might not realize it, but you're projecting it outside as well.
Right. And in your past, did you ever get caught in that harshness to yourself?
Yes. but it didn't take it. I didn't realize it. I wasn't open to that awareness until someone brought it up to me.
Right.
And what someone said,
I was going to say, what was that like for it to be brought up to you?
The way that it was brought up, I think, was so important because he said, you're creating a negative environment around you. And my thing is, it's like, if someone told me I'm beating myself, I'm being hard on myself, I'm just like, yeah, of course, I'm my harshest critic. Like that used to be a cool thing to say. Like, of course, no one judges me more than I judge myself, or whatever other sayings we used to say to ourselves. Like that used to be a cool thing to say, or, you know, you were a hard worker and that means you're humble or whatever else it meant. But when someone pointed out that the environment that I was creating within myself was going to create negativity out to others, that's when it really hit me. Mm-hmm. That I would never want to create a negative environment for anyone else. So how do I start to shift what I'm saying to myself and the example I'm putting out into the world so that I can start to shift that energy outside of me as well?
Oh, that's so true and so powerful, because so many of us think, well, I'm just doing it to myself. What does it matter? Like, and we don't realize what our soul is radiating or what our energy is radiating. Because when it's all negative inside, it doesn't just stay inside. We're not like a little box with a lock, right? And so can you give us like a little window into like what would be a practical step if somebody is really relating to that right now or thinking, crap, that's me. What would be a tangible thing that maybe you did or you would suggest beginning to look at if they're willing or wanting to shift that energy?
Yes. So one of the main things that I did is I decided, okay, how do I start to shift this right now? Because it was literally how I got ready in the morning. Like, oh, this looks awful. Oh, this is bad. Oh, whatever. And even if I'm around friends, it was like, you look at a photo. The first thing you do on that photo is you look at yourself. You look at how you look. You don't appreciate anything else except, how do I look in that photo? Right? So it took action. So I had to then say, okay, for 30 days, I'm literally writing three things I love about myself every single day.
Yeah.
Which gets hard after a few days. You're like, what else do I love about myself?
Right.
So three things I loved about myself every day. And I requested from my mom and my friends around me that if I ever say anything negative about myself, can you please catch me and make me reverse it? And if you say anything negative about yourself, I get to catch you and you have to immediately turn that around. So friends aren't allowed to speak negative around me anymore. I'm not allowed to speak negative to myself or to anyone else. And I get to be that example of what an empowered woman looks like.
Yes, that is so empowered. And I love, you know, you're talking about action, but you're truly putting the ownership on yourself. And you're saying, I'm going to make this change. Not only did you say, I'm going to make it to myself, you declared that to other people and asked them to join you. And yeah, that's so brave, especially like in the fear. And some of us, I can only imagine a different version of me being like, well, I couldn't have done that. But I'm thinking, even thinking now, like, I wonder if I should talk about that with my fiance, like, you know, as like an added layer, because this is such a transition I've gone through in my life. But I think so important to, if you're really thinking about how do I empower myself, the only way that we can do that also is to advocate for ourselves and actually voice and give words to what we're dreaming of. And I love that you talked about, you know, action for 30 days and writing out what you love for 30 days. And if we're thinking of changing, so we've been talking about you and this personal journey that you were on, but let's transition that over into activity and mobility and movement. And whether it's someone that, you know, maybe someone's not been doing a lot, or, you know, they're off the kick of moving, or maybe it's just, they just sit all day at work and they don't really get up and stand. And they're on this grind where they think, if I just sit all day, I can get it done faster and then I can leave sooner and then I can hit the gym, but they don't go hit the gym because they're just so tired from all their sitting. If somebody's been stuck and they're in a rut and they're not doing a lot of movement, where can we start? If we were to get started from 30 days from nothing, you know, what would be, should we go start trying to do 100 push-ups every day? Or like, we're going to hit the gym for like 2 hours a day for 30 days. Like where should we start? Any ideas on that?
Small.
So not what I just said at all.
Not at all. Definitely starting super small. So accountability is huge. And even for myself, like I love working out. I need it for mental clarity. I need it for everything. But at the same time, if I'm actually going to be consistent on my strength training, on my HIIT workouts, on anything, everything else, I request help. I need accountability. I'm making the workouts. I'm doing everything, but I'm like, hey friend, come work out with me, because you being here is going to hold me accountable for getting out of my bed and getting up and working out. Right. So start small and request support. And in what a beautiful thing to also be that example for a friend that's requesting support to move and get into your body, and just say like, hey, can we take a walk tonight? What if we did this 3 times a week? I want to like connect with you better. So instead of going and having lunch to connect, you're going and having a walk. And just getting out and moving is going to help you so much. I know when I would have lunch breaks, I would go work out and then not spend as much time eating, but it really meant a lot to me. Even when I was working in hospitals and doing different things, when I was a physical therapist, I would go take the stairs up and down all the flights of stairs with one of the other physical therapists who was an older woman. But this is how she got like her steps in. This is how she got her workouts in throughout the day, where it's almost better to be moving more actively throughout the day than sitting all day long and doing a 1 hour workout. Because that 1 hour workout, after you've been sitting all day, you're probably going to be more prone to injury. You're going to honestly not burn as much as you would if you were more active and getting up and down all throughout the day, doing the stairs, everything. Even when I'm in an airport, if I'm not carrying a huge bag, maybe just a backpack, I'm taking the stairs everywhere I go. So what can you do, little steps that you can do to start to increase movement and activity throughout your day, but start small. And then as you start to pick that up, maybe you go to a class instead of just walking outside with a friend. Maybe you hire a personal trainer if you have the money to do that. So really though, starting with small steps, starting with small actions that you can take throughout your day, whether it's setting reminders on your phone to get up and out of your chair, which is why I promote mobility so much, like you don't want to be stagnant. The worst thing that you can do for your body is either be standing too long, be sitting too long. You want to be moving. So I use mobility as a tool to remind me to get out of chair, to open, to stretch, to move my body, to connect my fascial tissue again and connect my mind to my body and get me just moving better. And the other thing that we get stuck on is, like, again, we went from kids putting our toes in our mouth to sitting in chairs all day long, sitting in cars, sitting at couches, sitting at dinner tables in just in 90 degrees. We're not putting our body in its full range of motion. So of course there's going to be breakdown. Don't expect to go to a workout squat below 90 degrees when you don't put your butt below 90 degrees anytime throughout the day. So getting back to that foundational layer, observing where your mobility is at and where it can go into, so important.
Okay, so if we're starting to observe where our current mobility is at and we really truly would like to be more mobile or we'd like to be more active, what are some starting things that are practical for people to do even after what you've just mentioned, like using stairs or things like that? What else can we do?
Mm-hmm. I mean, enroll your friends, see what your friends are doing. But one thing that my sister did is she had kids. So what did she look for when she had kids is something that she could do when still using her kids and not have to have a babysitter or anything. So she did stroller strides, and she has three kids later. She was teaching stroller strides even, and so involved. So wherever you're at in life, like, figure out the thing that's going to work for you, because everybody is going to be a little different as well. For some people, if you are able to go to the gym, awesome. But if you have no idea what to do in the gym, that makes it a little more difficult. So whether it's taking the classes at the gym or taking the time to invest in yourself and hire a personal trainer, saying it's not going to be for life, but it's going to be for this little time and my body is worth investing into. I think that's what we don't understand a lot. And this is something that I like to go back to and remind people over and over again. We listen to other people. We do these other things because someone else is worth listening to. Someone else is worth buying their programs or doing whatever. But we don't tell ourselves that we're worth listening to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's everything. Your body, you get to listen to the different foods that your body is responding to. And once you start to do that, your body will tell you what foods you should and should not be eating. You get to listen to what workouts your body likes more. And once you do that, your body again will tell you what feels good and what kind of workouts you should be doing.
Right. So I love that you're talking about listening to our body and huge on the connection to the body. And what if someone is sitting here thinking, like, I'm listening to my body and it says it hurts. I'm listening to my body and it says there's pain. So I think I should just sit. Like, I don't think I should do anything. I need to not be mobile. It's nice you guys are talking about it, but my body says I hurt. You know what? Yeah. What are some practical things people can start to think about or reconnect into if they're noticing pain?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say, are we going to just mask symptoms and continue to put band-aids on everything? And how long is that going to sustain you through with pain? Mm-hmm. I think as a society, we're taught to mask symptoms. I mean, commercials all over the place are like, oh, you have this pain, take this pill. You have this pain, take this pill, and it'll go away in 10 minutes. Your stomach pain, oh, you just ate a bad greasy meal, no problem, take a Tums and it's going to go away in 30 seconds. So it's like, we're taught how to cover symptoms. We're taught how if I hear pain, it's bad, first of all, and I need to cover it. I need to mask it. I don't need to get back to the root cause of it.
Right.
So really thinking also, are you living here just for this moment? Or do you want a long-term life? Are you eager to have a family, to have children, to have grandchildren that you can still play with, that you can still be involved with? Because if we only think short-term, we think, how can I get rid of this pain right now? Or let me not do anything to not even address the pain right now. When really, if we're thinking long-term in our life and where we want to go, we get to start getting back to the cause and the root of the issue, which means if you don't move at all, nothing is going to change. It's only going to get worse.
Right.
So why wouldn't we start to address where the cause is coming from? And if you have no idea, there are people like me called physical therapists and chiropractors and acupuncturists and other people who thrive off helping others.
Right.
And again, I will say your body is worth paying for so that you can start to understand what is truly happening. So instead of just covering it up, instead of just taking a pill, taking a cortisol shot, taking whatever it is, start to come back to the root cause so that we're thinking long-term rather than short-term.
Right. And it can be easier to take the pill in the short term. And whereas, you know, if you're thinking long term, you might have to be doing a little bit of work every single day to heal an injury for a long time. But if you're thinking long term, I'm going to be have a lot of life left ahead of me. That's a lot of pills and a lot of missed opportunities if you're not actually taking action on those things.
Totally.
So Jen, like a lot of these injuries, that's I think where people get held back because they're like, oh my gosh, this is going to take so much time. I'm going to have to put in hours and hours and hours. I should just take a pill. You know, does it have to be hours a day that people are going to have to do for most, like, I don't know, different injuries? Is that what you see, that people really have to commit all of this work and energy for hours every day?
I don't think that is the way to look at it. I think, you know, we get to shift into what can I start to do little by little on a daily basis that's actually going to make a difference. The same thing of like, you brush your teeth for like 2 minutes, maybe a few times a day,
right?
But it takes no longer than 2 to 3 minutes and you're done. And the reason you do that is because you're thinking long-term, I don't want my teeth to fall out.
Right.
You know? So we've gotten really good at paying attention to our teeth on a very consistent basis for short periods of time. That's all it takes to start to listen and move into your body. But it takes little bits of time to be able to start doing that. And that's why when I created the mobility method, I didn't create this like, here's an hour long program for you to do. I created little mini exercises for you to pick what is needed for your individual body. That's the other thing that it's like, it drives me nuts. It's like, I have this injury. I have this diagnosis. Here's my MRI. I get MRI x-rays all the time in my DMs. And I'm like, you are not your symptom.
Right.
You are not your pain. I cannot tell you what you need based on just looking at a symptom. I don't know what the cause is. You as a person, from your mindset to what you're putting into your body, to how you move your body, how you're standing, what activities you're doing all day long, they all have an impact on what is happening with the pain, the diagnosis, the disc injury, whatever it may be. And sure, there could be a short-term solution again that will only address the symptom.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm truly trying to help you, you have to help yourself. You have to understand what you need in your own individual body, and it gets to be an individual program for you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I created something where it's like, there's all these mobility exercises.
Right.
You have to do the work and do a self-assessment to find out what is needed for your individual body.
Right.
I cannot tell you.
Right.
You get to tell you.
Right. So, and I saw that you have like HIIT workouts, you have flow workouts, and some things are like 10 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone is doing something like a flow or a HIIT workout, what would be an indication that that workout is for them?
Yeah. So I have two different programs. So I have one program that it is more of like a flow type of thing. Where you can find a mobility like warm up almost 5 to 10 minutes or a core workout, whatever it may be. And those are just like my ways of like, here, you don't have to think, throw that in, that in before your workout, throw that in after your workout or on your day off.
Right.
But in general, I think you putting together your own certain exercises, and it doesn't even have to be within 10 minutes. It could be the one that I like getting out of bed that takes 2 minutes.
Right.
The one that I like to get me out of my chair at work that takes another 2 minutes. The one that I like before I work out, and all of a sudden you have like, you know, if you put them all and scatter them throughout your day, you've got 5 to 6 exercises that don't take an hour, that don't even take 10 minutes. It takes 2 minutes just like brushing your teeth.
Ooh.
And so I think if we can start to do that, if we can really start to implement those small little changes just to shift what we're doing within our body, just to continue to move into that full capability, that full range that our body is able to achieve, then we would prevent so many injuries, prevent so much pain, have so much more understanding and awareness within our body too, so that you can start to understand what your body needs on your own.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're saying, you know, with brushing our teeth, it doesn't work very well if we only brush our teeth once a week. If we wait and we're like, no, I'll just, you know, I'll brush for 20 minutes on Sundays, you know, I'll just really brush
exactly.
them. It's really that consistent 2 minutes at bed, 2 in the morning that really keep our mouths clean over time. And so you're saying, you know, we can find our favorite things and we can do it while we're making coffee. We can do it, you know, between, you know, if you're sitting at your desk every hour, maybe an alarm can go up and you can stand up and do a favorite thing, or you can, you know, do a little stretch on your way. You know, maybe you have some ritual after you go to the bathroom, who knows what it is, but yep. It's that continual little work, like brushing your teeth, so that you're not sitting there on Sunday with this huge teeth brushing for 20 minutes. That's not going to be as effective. It sounds like it's that truly that consistency over time that yes. is really where the magic is going to happen.
Totally. I mean, it's the same for work. We don't create anything in work if you're just like, hey, boss, I'm only going to come in once this week, okay? And you'll get everything you need from me. It's all going to be great.
Right.
I mean, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're working for someone, nothing works in just small bouts of things.
Right.
But it works in just like consistent behavior every single day over time.
Right. I love that. Consistency is everything. When I got that, I was like, this is where the magic is. Like, this is where the magic is. Like people always look at me and they're like, you must work out for hours. And I'm like, I'm the 25 minute queen, because I procrastinate mm-hmm. till the last minute. And then mm-hmm. I only have 25 minutes, but I go for my 25 minutes. I used to think I have to go for an hour. If I can't go for an hour, then it's not worth going. But
right.
truly, the consistency has been everything. If I hit the gym for 25 minutes, most of the days of the week, most of the weeks of the year, like I'm way better off than when I used to sit at home and go, well, I can't go for an hour. It's not worth it. And
yeah.
so, you know, anything, and I, you know, I've talked about my injuries that I got last year, but you know, it's, you know, every time I walk away from my desk, or I'll be sitting and I'll just be feeling a little bit stiff. So I don't hesitate to get up and move. And I found like that while I'm microwaving my lunch is one of my favorite times, because my lunch is always frozen. So it takes 4 minutes to heat up, and for 4 minutes I move. And it's just those, like you're talking about, those little teeth brushings all throughout my day, of that movement that has been so key to my life. And I love that you're so really funny. Driving that home today. It's amazing. Yes.
It's what I believe.
I hope if people only take that away, like consistency.
Yes.
Be consistent. Yeah. That is all you hear, is be so consistent.
Exactly.
So Jen, in your own life, you're super mobile, you're go out, you're doing things. What's your favorite way to stay active currently?
Oh man, it's hard to answer just like in one thing, because I do so many different things.
Yeah, you can pick more than one.
I would say right now, it is accountability from yeah. other people. So as much as I can just get a good workout in on my own, I love to do it with other people. So whether that's going and working out with a friend, or whether that's having them come to me and we do a HIIT workout, whatever it may be, I love doing it with other people.
What do you think it is about having other people there that is so special for you?
And, you know, so many things. I mean, accountability is the first thing. And the thing that I've been driving in for everything, I think in life in general, it's just accountability is so key, so huge. It just, right. it helps drive everything forward. But also, you know, it's fun.
Yeah.
It makes it way more fun when I can like laugh and be a little bit competitive. They may not know, but I'm secretly like, can I kick their ass?
I relate to that a lot.
And it is, it's a good environment. It's a good right. time. We're both in the same mindset. We're both in the same headspace of wanting to get stronger, bigger, faster, whatever it may be, and just have fun and get a good workout in.
What do you think has been the biggest blessing to having fun and getting your workouts in consistently? How's that been? What's the biggest blessing in your life as a result of that?
A healthy body, a healthy, able, capable, moving body. Every day, so grateful. I can get out of bed. I'm still breathing. I'm walking. I'm reaching overhead. These things that we take for granted on a daily basis. I can sit on the floor. I can stand up. I can roll over. I mean, even rolling for people is hard. You don't yeah. do that since you're a kid. So, I mean, the other thing, if I can challenge everyone, get down on the floor multiple times a day.
What should we be doing when we're on the floor?
Whatever you want to do. Sometimes I'll work, I'll fold laundry, I'll just sit and stretch. I mean, really, truly, your body gets to be in its full range of motion. And it's the reason also why all the other cultures who have to get down on the ground and pray multiple times a day have a lower, studies have shown they have a lower chance of osteoarthritis in their hips.
Wow.
Because they're literally putting their body in their end range of motion and getting back up off the floor multiple times throughout the day.
You know, sometimes I record podcasts on the floor. thinking I should do it more often.
Exactly. Whatever you can do, just sit on the floor. It doesn't have to be perfect. It probably won't be comfortable at first. And having a little backache, having your leg fall asleep, whatever, normal. If you haven't been doing it, normal. But we also get to move into the uncomfortable in order to progress, in order to move through life. It's everything.
You know, and I love how you said move into the uncomfortable in order to progress, because whether that is, you know, moving our body in a different way or going to a different class or something that feels a bit icky to us, usually to get to the glory on the other side, to get to the joy, to get to the fun, to get to the more mobility, increased mobility, often there is that discomfort first, right?
All the time.
So Jen, is there ever times, even though you know that your body feels better, that you feel like you don't want to move or you don't want to go be active or you don't want to exercise or do something like that?
All the time.
You even feel that way. Okay. And when you're feeling that way, I feel like I might know the answer to this question based on what you've said so far. When you're feeling like you don't want to, how do you push yourself through that?
I start moving. Even if it's little. Yeah. Even if it's little, even if it's just like, let me do a handstand right now. Handstands are literally meditative for me at this point. I know for other people, they can't relate to that, but for me, it's meditative. It makes me feel good. And so do something that gets you moving in some way. And when you start shifting your energy, you might start realizing that you want to move a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like you're willing to recognize that even though your body is saying like, don't, you know that you're going to shift into something that feels most desirable for you. So even if that's just a headstand, that can be a gateway to a whole new path of energy within your body, because you're taking that first action that actually feels most of the time good for you. You're not doing something that you hate. You're choosing something that you love. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jen, thank you so much for all of your words of wisdom, all of your insight. Before we get off today, is there anything I haven't asked you about that, or maybe I've cut you off and you wanted to say, is there anything, any final thoughts that you want to say before we get off today?
You know, I think I'm going to draw back to the compassion that I said for self-love, because if we can have compassion for ourselves, no matter what area you're in, no matter what state your body's in, no matter how you're feeling, if you have compassion for whatever you're in right now, you are more able to then step forward and say, okay, I recognize how I'm feeling. It's okay. Now, how can I move forward?
I love that. And I especially love it because I feel like so often we have this self-critic that's like, you shouldn't feel this way or don't feel that way, or like there's something wrong with you because you think that or you're weak. But instead of just saying, of course you feel that way and it's okay and you're such a human now, like, let's stand up. I've got you. Mm-hmm. You know, we can have that compassion. I just feel like we can go so much farther and do so much more. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
I feel like while you are a doctor of physiotherapy, like it's your heart and your soul that, you know, I was like, man, so on you post so many pictures of your physical movement of your body and like an injury and how to go through that. And I always wonder, I'm like looking at your page and I'm like, I wonder how her heart seems to speak through that. Because in speaking to you today, we talked about movement a little bit, but I feel like the greatest gift is you also show like how you push through fear and how you continue to show up as a great version of you. And I feel like your heart shows through, but I think, you know, limiting you to this doctor of physiotherapy, while that's amazing, there's so much more to this girl than that title. So thank you for sharing that with us today. And it's been such a pleasure to have a brief window of your time to get to know you more and get to know, I think probably what draws everybody to come and watch you is this heart that you have. So thank you so much for being on today.
Well, thank you. That means a lot to me, and I'm glad that you were able to even see that. I will try to show that more on social media then. Noted.
You do a wonderful job of it. And so, yeah, I hope it, I'm sure it will keep coming out. So thanks so much, Jen.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in. This podcast was made because of your questions. So please help me get it out there by leaving a rating and review. Until next time, remember, you've got this, and stay consistent.